Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may want to keep that reading from Isaiah handy that Bob read. I'm going to make reference to it throughout my message this morning. Dear friends, there's a big difference between something being a concept and something being real to us. You think of a moment when something was just a concept, and then all of a sudden it became very real to you. I think for me that happened with the very first time that I went to Disneyland. See, before I went to Disneyland, Disneyland was a concept in my head. I believed in Disneyland. I saw the pictures of what it looked like with the castle and imagined what it would be like. My friends went to Disneyland, and they told me all about it. I believed in Disneyland. I knew the songs, and I knew the characters. See, it wasn't real to me. It was just something in my imagination. It was a concept. And then I went to Disneyland and was consumed and overwhelmed with Disneyland, and it became very real to me. I ate the corn dogs. I went on to Pirates of the Caribbean, and then I went on to Pirates of the Caribbean again, and then again. And wasted the whole morning there. I went on a whole bunch of different rides. In that experience, Disneyland became very real. I shook hands with Mickey Mouse and hung out with Donald Duck. Disneyland was real. Wow. I'm going to lay a rhetorical question here on your marks here this morning. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. The church has practiced and honored this Sunday for 17 centuries. Here's a question for us to consider. Is our God a concept that we think about, an idea, or has God become real to us? Wow. Interesting way to think about it. Well, you know, in a lot of ways, God is kind of a concept. You could come to that conclusion here this morning. That's the way I hear God talked about in a lot of the conversations that I have with people. They talk about God as if, you know, he was a part of the history book in the 17th century, and they get facts and information about God. Another person talks about God as if he was a point to be had in a philosophy class at Oregon State University. God is a concept, in other words. You know, when we read the Athanasian Creed, did you scratch your head when that was read at all? Did anyone scratch their head? There's some tough things in the Athanasian Creed. And it can come across as kind of nothing more than just concept, just thoughts about who God is. Take this one little statement here. God is one, not in the coming together of the divine into the flesh, but one by the assumption of the flesh into divinity. What does that mean? Can anyone explain that? That's like a concept, isn't it? When you come to church this morning, you might be thinking, wow, the culture says God's a concept. It's taught that way at school. And we have this creed here. It's just an idea about who God is. Friends, I believe God was a concept. I'm making a little bit of a jump here personally. But I think we can go here. I believe God was kind of a concept to this guy named Isaiah that we have here that we just read about in Isaiah 6. He knew about God. God was kind of a concept that he had heard about from his parents and his grandparents. But in Isaiah 6, an earthquake happened. God became very real to Isaiah. Real. Now, everyone's journey to God here, no one here, I'm not suggesting here this morning, I want to temper what I'm going to say here this morning by saying, no one here, your life of being drawn to God is not exactly like Isaiah's. I don't want to say just follow what Isaiah does and what he says here in Isaiah 6. But I do believe there are some nuggets here in Isaiah 6 that can move each one of us from just thinking of God as a concept, an idea, to God becoming very real in our lives. Three things Isaiah does. Moves God from a concept to very real in his life. The first thing is this. Isaiah became humble. If you become humble, God will become more real in your life. Isaiah got a heavy dose of humble pie in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's review how he became very humble. Isaiah the prophet was, I'm going to say this for you guys know who this is. Isaiah the prophet was the Jay-Z of the 8th century before Jesus Christ. The Jay-Z is. He was. The prophet Isaiah, 8 centuries before Jesus Christ, was an amazing speaker. And he wasn't just someone on the margins of society. Now, there were other prophets in the Old Testament that were on the margins of society. Amos, you can look him up in the Old Testament. Kind of on the margins, the fringes of society. Now, you know who Isaiah was? Isaiah was hanging out with kings and princes. He was with the aristocracy of Jerusalem. That's Isaiah. Isaiah's career spanned 40 years. 40 years. And spanned 5 of the kings of Israel. You know who Isaiah was? Isaiah is the number one, he's like today, the number one author on the New York Times bestselling list. And the number one speaker in the United States of America. That is Isaiah the prophet, 8 centuries before Jesus Christ. Do you catch the humble pie that he says? The man with the golden tongue and beautiful lips. He says, "Woe unto me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips, and I have seen the King, the Lord God." Humble. The Jay-Z of his era. Humble before God. You know, it's actually kind of like this. And I don't know if this is, if you've ever experienced this, but when you think you're really good at something, but then you go to an event, and you find out there are people that are way better than me in a whole bunch of ways. That's Isaiah here. Isaiah is the best speaker of his day, and he realized that in front of the Lord God Almighty, he's very, very, he doesn't compare at all. He's humble. And when we take an approach like that in life, God becomes more real, not just a concept. The second thing that Isaiah does is he recognizes God. He recognizes God for his beauty and just who God is. That's an amazing thing. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I've forgotten a lot of things from seminary. I went to seminary about 13 years ago. Long time in seminary. But one thing I learned in seminary was a little bit of Hebrew. And what they told us in Hebrew class is that in Hebrew, you double words if you want to make emphasis. So in Genesis, here's an example. In Genesis 14, when they're describing a pit in the ground, in the Hebrew it says pit, pit. It doesn't say a deep pit. That's how you say it in English. In Genesis 14, to call something a deep hole, you double the word pit, pit. It happens all the time in the Old Testament to highlight something. It's the way they... God's people, the Jews, highlighted something. Friends, in our passage this morning, and in my recollection, there's only 3 or 4 passages in the entire Old Testament where the word is tripled. What word's tripled? Did you catch it? We sang a song about it today. Holy, 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 holy. Only 4 times in the Old Testament. Isaiah is caught by the magnificence and grandeur of who God is. Do you see this? You know, what happens most times in ancient cultures is that they love and honor a god because the god is going to do something back to them. So the god of the sea, Neptune, you want to give him praise so that he'll bless your journey. Isaiah doesn't do that. Isaiah says, "You are holy just as you are. Awesome, and above all things, holy, holy, holy," 3 times. That's why we sing that song on this Sunday. And you see, the more that we recognize God for his beauty and his magnificence, how deep he is, the more God becomes real in our life. Finally, Isaiah does this. Isaiah becomes available to God. He becomes available to God. It's the last thing. When we become available with open arms to God, God becomes more real in our life. Now, when you read this passage, you might come to the conclusion Isaiah is a crazy man and made a major mistake. You know why? He agrees to a job before he ever finds out what that job is going to be. Do you guys ever do that, a teen challenge? Do you agree doing a job without finding out what the job description is?
You do?
Wow. You're told not to do this because what you want to know is you want to know how hard the job is going to be. You want to know how long the job's going to be. You want to know how much effort you're going to put in before you ever agree to doing anything. Isaiah raises his hand. This is my interpretation. He raises his hand and says, "Lord, here I am. Send me." Listen to the job description of Isaiah the prophet. It's not in our text. It's found in verses 9 through 13. Here's what God says to Isaiah, the job description. Isaiah, go and say to these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then Isaiah says, oh my goodness, what did I sign up for? No, actually, Isaiah says, oh Lord, how long should I do this? And God says this, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. You see Isaiah's mistake here? He agrees to God's, he says, send me, I don't even know what you're going to make me do. It's no mistake at all. Isaiah was going to God with his hands open saying, I'm available. In other words, the schedule that I have, I'm putting it aside. You are what matters, God, and I will fit my schedule around God. This works in our own lives by not looking at what we would want to do, but opening our arms and saying, God, what would you want me to do today for my neighbor and my community today? How should I serve my brother at Teen Challenge today? Not what I would want to do. Lord, how can you use me today? When we are more available to God, God becomes more real, not just a concept. You know, children get it. Adults sometimes don't. Children get, they get really hard concepts and they just believe that they're real. We sometimes struggle with that. And it's true, this last week I was walking down a hallway at Zion Lutheran School with Claire. She's my daughter. And on the wall there was a picture of Jesus with some children. And I pointed to Jesus in the picture and I said, Claire, do you know who that is? And I thought she was going to say Jesus. She paused just for a moment and she said, that's God. Then she said quickly, it's Jesus. Then she said, it's God and Jesus. Adults struggle with the concept of God and tying it to Jesus. You know, the whole Athanasian Creed started during a great controversy where they couldn't figure this out. And adults kind of messed it up. I mean, I'm putting my own interpretation again. Don't turn me into the authorities here. But this is what they did. A whole bunch of adults followed this man named Arius, and he had a teaching on who God and Jesus were. And then a whole bunch of other people followed this guy named Athanasius. And then there's a lot more to the story, but in this whole disagreement, they come together and they write this long creed that we have here today that is wonderful, and the church has honored it throughout centuries. But you know what they could have done in the 4th century? They could have called upon a little child and said, hey, you see this picture of Jesus? Who is that? God, Jesus. Wow, it would have been so simple. Friends, the God of the Bible does not want to be a concept. Does not want to be just a philosophical thought that we think of. The God of the Bible wants to be real to you. And that's why he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaiah, the Jay-Z of the 8th century before Jesus Christ. The God of Peter, the God of Mary, the God of you, and me. So let's just take a look at what Isaiah does. If we just do one of those three things, make God less of a concept and more real for our lives. That's what he wants to be in our lives. Amen. Let's pray about that, and we'll continue with our reading of the Athanasian Creed. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. Not out of outer space, but it's a work to make you from, to make yourself less of a concept to being real in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we thank you for how you worked in Isaiah's life and pray that you would do the same for our life, that we would be more humble, that we would be more available to you, that we would recognize you just for your beauty alone and how holy, holy, holy you are. In Jesus' name. And our readers are going to come forward, and it looks like we have technical difficulties. That is not the Athanasian Creed.